This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled 2020 Forecast, was delivered on January 5th, 2020. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Good morning, New Hope! Oh, hey, if you are writing a check for the tithes and offerings, remember, it is 2020, okay? That's not my eyesight, okay? But it's the year. We start a new decade, yeah? So we have a few announcements, and I have some help with the announcement this morning. So we're going to ask Denise and Susan to come and help us.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. First of all, I want to say thank you to all who came to our Christmas party on December 20th. I got to just speak for me and my husband Richard when I say it was awesome. And the kids who danced, the girls who danced with their daddies, oh, please. I mean, I was just melting. This year, we're going to start off next Friday with a date night by candlelight. It'll be right here at 6:30 this Friday, and I hope you'll all count on being here. It's wonderful to be able to share times with people who are filled with Christ. So I hope I'll see you this Friday at 6:30. Bring something to eat because I'm always hungry. Okay? We'll see you this Friday at 6:30. Thank you.
Thank you, Denise.
Morning. So just a quick announcement. T-shirt money is due by next Sunday. $25 t-shirt. If you have not signed up, come see me. I will sign you up or take your money. And women's ministry this Saturday here, 7 a.m. after the men's.
Yeah. All right.
Pastor Scott.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Susan, so much. Okay. So I get the other part. Men's ministry right here, Saturday, 5:30 for you who want to eat at 5:30. For those of you who want to come in fellowship, 4:15, because that's when I start the coffee. So when you guys come, the coffee is ready, and we don't have to wait for it. But yes, we're looking forward, man. We're looking forward to a great year. Maybe we, if God willing, we can grow the men's ministry more. Not by weight, right? Because already back there, Scott said he put on 20 pounds since starting to come to this church. So I asked him, okay, if you put on 20 pounds, what about spiritually? And he said he grew spiritually. Yes. So this said, and then for the food ministry, we still have some room on the second and fifth Saturday. If anybody is interested in bringing food to feed us after service, because we feed like over 100 people, and it's a good time where we can sit down, talk story, break bread, pray for one another, encourage one another. So it's a really good thing. I think sometimes we get more after service than during service, because we get to interact with one another, and not just one person is speaking, but we're all communicating. And you know, I think that's what it's going to be like one day in heaven. We're all going to be together sitting at a big table and eating, talking story. Yeah, I mean, it'd be great. I can't wait to get there. Amen. What else announcements did I have? Men's ministry, food ministry, we got the shirts, dance. Oh, tithes and offering. Yeah, I kind of forget that. Yeah. So don't forget, okay, it is 2020, right? 2020. Okay, so if you're writing a check, don't forget. And if you want to give online, we have set it up. So you, if you look on the back of the bulletin, there's a number that you can text to, and then it'll send you a prompt, and then you just follow the prompts, and then you'll be set up to give online. It's not like we're trying to get anything more out of you. We're just trying to make it more convenient for you. And if you're going to pay with a credit card, we don't want you to pay with a credit card and not able to pay your bill. Okay, so that's not the whole reason behind it. We're just trying to make it easier for you. Maybe you're traveling and you want to give. That's all great. Okay, so Let's pray over the tithes and offering. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for a great 2019. And we pray for an even better 2020. We ask that your blessings would be upon it, that you would guide us, you would lead us, and you would give us vision and dreams and hope. So we ask that you would bless the tithes, the offering this morning, that we would use it to further your kingdom. We thank you so much. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Go ahead, ushers. Whew. What a great year. Starting off the year with all of our water tanks guaranteed full, right? Right? Nobody's water tank is empty. All full. We all, you know, it's just kind of weird, yeah, with the holiday fall in the middle of the week. And it's like, I went to work on Thursday and I felt like it was a Monday. And it's like, okay, I just had to get so adjusted to that. And usually we take the churches, our Foursquare churches, they take from after Christmas to New Year's, they take that week off. And I was thinking like, yes, I'm going to take the week off. I'm going to do stuff around the house. But I think I end up working a little bit more. I don't know why. But it's all good because I love my job. I love the people. I love to answer your prayers, your prayer requests. I love to come to your houses and do things with you. It was a very good New Year's Eve. It was quiet. I had to tend to my dogs because they were just so scared out of their mind. Even if I did medicate them. I got to go talk to our vet one day why, but I did medicate them, and they still were like whining, and I had to let my Doberman in the house, and then my little white dog that sheds like so much hair, I had to leave her on her leash, put it under the front door so she could lie right inside the front door, and just because if she goes to the house, there'll be white hair all over the place. And my Doberman, I had to put him in the laundry room and get those big folding tables and block the way. Yeah, it's like, well, it's crazy. And the fireworks were going off right over my house. And it was like, I could feel the ash falling on me. But it was pretty cool because I didn't have to pay for any of it. You know, because we spend, you know, $3,000 to fly to Disneyland to watch fireworks. When it's like, honey, we don't have to go anymore. We can just stay here and watch. It's cheaper. Yeah? But man, I believe that this year is going to be a great year. And I think, I know every year with the Lord, no matter how difficult it is, it's going to be great. Amen. And I think we enter this year with great hope, momentum, tremendous potential for growth and advancement of God's kingdom. And in you know, our men's ministry, we are on an upward swing. We have this momentum going. We have somewhere of up to 30 men come show up on a Saturday morning. And if you look at the size of this church, it's like, wow, that's pretty good. And I believe the men, they kind of get used to, they feel comfortable around each other, comfortable enough to share the issues that they go through. And we get to pray for one another. And like when we had the men up here last week, it was awesome. And I looked out there, it was kind of like, well, where is everybody? But they were all up here. And, you know, as men, we try to teach you that we have a great responsibility in leading our families. So we have all that going. We have our life groups going, and we have much, much more that we get to do for the kingdom this year. And in order for us to accomplish these things, I need all of you to be on board. I need all of you be willing to kind of step out of your comfort zones and get ready to be used by God. Amen? You guys ready to be used by God? Because I know sometimes we get so comfortable that we don't want to even change seats in church. You know, And really, right? You guys love the same seats every week. And when I ask you, hey, you know so-and-so? You know Ben? You know Ben back there? Ben who? Because you guys sit in the same seat. You don't sit next to Ben back there because he's back there. Right, Ben? Right? But you know Raymond because Raymond is in the back of you. But Raymond, he might not know John up here. So it's like, hey, we kind of got to step out of our comfort zone. And we got to kind of do church together. And the greatest illustration I can imagine is if you ever been on a canoe. You ever been on a canoe? If you haven't, then we're going to have to just get you to one of our baptisms. Ask Grant to bring the canoe again, and you guys paddle. I've been on a canoe with pastors before as an illustration. And it was a leadership practicum on Oahu. We shadowed Pastor Wayne for a week. And I think a week is enough because that guy is high energy, man. His energy is like, it's like he's on rock stars all day long. I mean, just seriously, from the time he gets up, go, go, go. It's like, man, this guy is living on God. And he took some of us pastors out in the water on a canoe. And I don't know why they put me on the front. Maybe because I was the lightest so the canoe wouldn't, you know, purl and go sinking, right? But they put me on the front. And the front guy is the guy who controls the temple. And so we were paddling and we were doing fine. And Pastor Wayne's canoe starts coming on the side of us. And the pastor's in the back there, let's go faster. So you paddle, and hot ho, and you change sides. And so I start picking up the pace, but they couldn't keep up. So what happened? We went slower. Because it teaches you many lessons. You know, as the leader, I cannot go too fast and, you know, leave you guys behind. And, you know, some guys, I do devotions with some guys and we joke because it's like, where are you reading from? Because, like, you're like 1 month ahead of all of us and there's no trail to follow because you're so far gone. So as a leader, I learned that I got to set the pace, but I cannot go too fast. Because if I go too fast, you get frustrated, can't keep up. I'm out of here. And if you've been on a canoe when they're all paddling together with their arms and their back, the canoe kind of jumps. And it's like, wow, it's so awesome. And if we can do that together, we can accomplish so much things in the name of Jesus. Amen? You know, if you have your Bibles, Proverbs 16:3, and I love this scripture. In fact, I read it yesterday at a blessing. Proverbs is like almost in the middle of your Bible, right next to Psalms. But it's a good verse to highlight. Proverbs 16:3. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn. You might want to pin this scripture up on your wall. You might want to think about it every morning. You might want to think about it for your life. Proverbs 16:3 from the NIV says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. You know, whatever plans we have, we commit it to the Lord so that we can have success. And when you're following God, your plans will change. My plans changed a lot. When I first started to come to church, my plans was me. Me, as a young, immature Christian, it was still about me. Me and what I wanted to do. As I matured, my plans changed. It says, not what I want, but what God wants. You know, like John says, he must increase while I decrease. Commit whatever you do to the Lord. Whatever plans we have, we shall commit to the Lord. The plans that we have, the plans that God has given us for this year, we commit to the Lord. God has put this vision in me, and it hasn't changed for the past 12 years. I want New Hope East Hawaii to be a part of the community, not just in the community, you know, a place where we can gather young and old, Christian and non-Christian, to be loved, to be shown the love of God, a place where learning happens, where healing happens, a central part of the community, a safe place to gather and to fellowship. Now, we have been praying for land for quite some time. We're waiting on God to give us the land. But as we wait, you know, we're just not going to sit idly by and do nothing, right? As we wait for the Lord to give us land, because that's what the deal. I said, God, you give us land and we'll build your church. But until that happens, you know, we wait, but we don't just sit by and twiddle our thumbs and wait. And sometimes when you're fishing and you're waiting for the fish to bite, we sit down and we do nothing, but we talk story. But sometimes when you're fishing and you're waiting for the bite, what are you doing? You're getting your next bait ready. You're tying your extra lines. You're doing something. You know, if you ever go to a restaurant and you see the waiters, do they just stand around and wait to take your order? Right? How many of you, like, the waiter got to come back like 3 or 4 times because you're busy talking story? And you, oh, are you ready to order? Oh, not yet. Can you give us another minute? And then they come back. Oh, are you ready to order? Oh, not yet. Can you give us another minute? Yeah. But do they just stand by your table and wait and wait? Hurry up. They don't just stand around and wait. They are getting things ready. They're moving. They're constantly doing stuff. And as we wait upon the Lord, we're not going to just sit down and twiddle our thumbs. We're going to prepare. We're going to train. We're going to read. We're going to equip. Because we need to be ready. How do we prepare for what God is going to do with us, through us? What are we going to do to get New Hope East Hawaii ready? For when God says, okay, let's go, we're going to train. Because we can, if God calls us to move tomorrow, oh, how many of you will be ready, equipped to lead? What if God calls you to lead another church? And that happened before, many times. He took pastors out of this church and put them in a church where there was no pastor, or the pastor was retiring. How many of you, if God says, hey, I want you to go to another church and lead, how many of you would be ready? Raise your hand. See? Whose fault is that? It's my fault, right? It's my fault because I didn't equip you to be ready, right? It all falls on me. I don't want that to happen. I want us to be ready if God calls you. Because if one of our pastors gets sick on a Saturday night and he says, God, I need somebody tomorrow, I want to be able to say, oh, yes, I got John right there. He is ready, willing, and able. We're just going to be without an harmonica one day. It's like, but you've seen him train up Versailles, right? He was playing Jingle Bells on New Year's Eve, on Christmas Eve. He's training somebody up, getting them ready. Right, so I want us to be trained up. You know, when you watch football on TV, baseball, basketball, you know, the training starts way before they're on TV. I mean, you look at baseball; it's not going to start till March, but I'm pretty sure they're going to start training pretty soon. For all of us here, we need to start getting trained. Because we don't know when God is going to call us. And if we're not ready, then, well, he just might choose somebody else to do his miracles to, which is sad. So we need to get ready. We cannot just stand around and wait until God says, okay, I have land. Then we're going to be, oh, wait, Lord, can you give me another month? I need to save up some money so that we can purchase the land. Well, we are already doing that. We are already saving up our finances for when God calls us and gives us land that we can do something with it, instead of like, wait a minute. We have the money. but it's in your account. How am I going to get it? Right, nobody's laughing. Exactly. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. Matthew is an easy book to find. Matthew 25. And I encourage you to bring your Bibles with you. There's been about five or six years ago, my wife got me an iPad, and it's like, that was like new to me. And it's like, I knew I had to kind of like jump into the technology side and learn how to use this device. And I tried reading on my iPad, and I tried journaling on my iPad, and it works. I did that for like about 3 years. And then the beginning of last year, I kind of like, man, I missed feeling the pages of my Bible. How many of you are like that? I love turning the pages. And I could flip the Bible and just automatically pop into the book that I need to be. That's how well I knew my Bible. And I started getting back into that again and started doing things like manually on paper and writing and reading, and I really love it. I don't think there's any replacement for the actual word, being able to flip to the pages and write on it. This is going to be my third year on this Bible, and for those of you who do devotions with me, you know that every year, every time that I get a scripture, I write the date that I got the scripture, and I highlight it. In 2018, I was doing a purple highlighter, okay, so I know. And then last year, I did yellow. And this year, I'm doing pink. So that when I flip to my Bible and I see a purple highlight, I knew that came from a certain year. And if I see yellow, I knew that came from last year. Because if I go back and the same scripture speaks to me, then I know that I didn't listen to it the first time. And God has to say, hello. Come on, remember I told you this last year. You still didn't get it. Come on, get it so that you can move on. So this year is pink. And, you know, I started writing again in my journal, and it's so, my writing is terrible, but I need to do that because it's so much easier to find what I have written, what God had told me, when I have it in a book. I mean, when I had it online on my iPad, I could, but it would take me a long time to find, because I would say, hey, I'm writing this sermon. I know God told me this a few weeks ago or a few months ago, but where is it? I cannot find it. But now I can look at this and I can tell you when I read what. And on November 23, I came out of Matthew 24:13, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. And I titled it Endurance. It's on page 5 in my journal, because now I went back to writing, and it's so, so much better. But going back to Matthew 25, starting in verse 1, this is Jesus speaking. The kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were prudent, were smart. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil flasks along with their lamps. So, you know, you can kind of see the picture. You know, I get so much illustrations when I go fishing. And you know, I could use all of you when I go fishing. You guys are going to end up in my sermon sooner or later for the stuffs that you guys do, right? Like Tom, when he goes fishing, he's prudent. He brings a backpack that fits all his fish inside. I bring a bucket. And when I carry that bucket, I got to switch hands every 5 steps because it's heavy. Because God answers my prayers. He provides me with fish. Right? But Tom, he prays the same prayer. God provides him fish, but he sticks all his fish in a backpack, so he got two hands free. Me, I have my bucket and my fishing pole, and I fall down. And what happens? My fishing pole breaks. Prudent? Not so prudent. Right? And so it's like five were foolish. Sometimes I think, man, I'm just that foolish guy. Some were smart. So when the foolish, yeah, took their lamp, the prudent took oil. Now, while the bridegroom was delayed, they got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight, there was a shout. Behold, the bridegroom come out to meet him. All those virgins rose, they trimmed their lamps, so they turned their lamps back up. The foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil. You know, so that our, because our lamps are going up. Now, I couldn't ask Tom for his backpack, because it's not going to fit on both of us. And he's not going to say, oh, here, I'll give you my backpack, and I'll carry the heavy bucket. Sorry, but as much as he loves me, he's going to tell me, you know what, you should have thought before you came out here. Right? So, give us some oil, for our lamps are going out. The prudent answered, no, there will be not enough for us and you. Then they said, go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. So Jesus told this parable to clarify further what it means to be ready for his return. You know, because if he comes back, and he comes back like a shout with the shout of the trumpet, comes back on the cloud, and we're not right with God, it's going to be like kind of too late to try and get ready. But he's saying, man, we got to be ready. And we got to live ready until he comes. Yeah? For me, it was never my vision to build a church of thousands. A big church, but it was a vision of mine to build a church of big people. Not big in the sense of 6 feet five and 280 pounds, not like linebackers who are gonna stand up and protect me, you know, but big people, like when you are coming down the street, the devil will flee because like, oh boy, here comes that guy from New Hope East Hawaii. I better run because they're going to give me a whooping and send me away. And that's the kind of people I want to build. That's the kind of people God wants. The people who know their word, who when somebody comes up to them hurting, they can give them something from the scriptures to help them have hope. Something that would encourage them. Something that will build them up. We want to disciple people who will disciple people who will in turn disciple people. And that's part of the plan for this upcoming year. And I need your help. I need your heart. I need your willingness to step out of that comfort zone. So we're going to read that the word that the Lord gave me for this year is discipleship. So how are we going to do this? The first one is when we want to do small groups. When I was a young Christian, I got a lot of my growth from being in a small group. And it was tremendous. I mean, a small group, four or five, that is just like a great size. A place where you will be encouraged, a place where you'll be prayed for. And my small group, all we did was what we call sermon application. We got the message from the Sunday, and we asked questions, okay, you got the message. How will you apply it in your life? And we went and we shared some examples. We prayed. We ate. We always had food, right? What's a gathering without food? You're going to be by yourself. Sad to say, but food is part of our culture. And I learned more in that small group than classes and everything else. But the classes did help. It equipped me and it gave me things I needed for this role that God has called me to. So we are looking for people, and you don't need to be a graduate with a theology degree and all that. All you need is a heart that's willing to love people, a heart after God. If you have a home, you just need to open your door. If you have a Wi-Fi signal, that will help a lot. She can share a video. Or even if you don't have those things, you could just take the Sunday message and ask some questions about it. What do you think he meant by this? What do you think this scripture means that he read? How will you apply this in your life? Give me some practical ways. And that way, the message that is spoken won't be forgotten, because I guarantee you, 12 o'clock today, what did he speak about? I know he talked about Tom and he talked about fishing. That was a good message. Bring something to carry the fish on. Right? Because, I mean, how many of you remember what I spoke last week? Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, even if you need to use a church office, you could do that. I know Grant uses a church office on Wednesdays. He does a Bible study with a video there. So that's all we need. And we want as much small groups as possible to fit every one of you in every part of this community. Because I tell you what, the community you build and the growth you get would be tremendous. This church started from a small group. Started with two families, and it went to three. It went up to 50 people, back down to 20 people, back up to 30 people. And all of a sudden, it just came into this church. And that's how we got started, from a small group. Okay, so we want to do small groups. And if you're willing, and if you want to, and if you want to be challenged to step out of your comfort zone, all you got to do is say, "Yes, Lord, your servant is listening." Amen. Nobody wants to say amen. Amen. Yes. Come on, get excited about this, because, man, you're going to grow. We're going to grow you this year. The next is leadership training. My leadership training came under Pastor Alex Pacheco. And it was always at an inconvenient time. It really was. It was usually at 5 a.m. or earlier. Really. And sometimes it was earlier because he would take me on the boat with him. So it included getting up at 3 o'clock or sometimes earlier, getting on a boat, getting seasick, puking my guts out. You know, just to be around somebody who's going to teach me something. And it wasn't easy. In fact, when I was on the boat, it was miserable because I get seasick in the calmest of waters. I would be on the side of the pier holding the ropes for the boat while he parked the truck and the trailer and watching that boat go up and down before I even got on it made me sick. And the worst part about it, when we were leaving the bay, he'd make me drive enclosed in a cabin, rocking back and forth while he put out the lines and he told me, "Aim for that star." I said, "I can't see that star." "Aim for that buoy." "I can't see that buoy." So, and then follow this heading on the compass. And then when you look at numbers rolling around inside a cab, moving back and forth, you best not throw up in his cab. I think if I did, I would be fish bait. And it was never easy. It was never easy. But man, did I learn a lot following his leadership. Sometimes I had to go into classes at night. Sometimes he asked me to travel with him. I had to leave my wife and kids home, and that was hard. But it was for a short season. He took me to Chicago in the winter, and he locked me out of the car And him and his wife laughed at me while I was freezing outside. And he was like just having fun. It's like, man, seriously, I'm from Hawaii. I'm in Chicago. I am freezing and you locked me out of the car and you're in the car with the heater on laughing at me. It's like, wow. I can't wait to take some of you with me in wintertime to a conference. Yeah. But see, I need and I want to do the same with you. But you gotta be willing because we need leaders, not just here. Okay, not just here. There's other churches out there who could use leaders. And if God calls you there, then hey, we'll send you there. Even if it means training you up and sending you out, because I realized this after God took four pastors out of this church, that they don't belong to me. They belong to God. And when I train people up and God takes them, then that's what it is. It's like Al said, it is what it is. Let's just roll with it. I cannot get mad at God, but like Pastor Jay, when he's doing good out in Pahoa, I was training him up so I could kind of maybe in like 8 years retire, getting ready. And God said, thank you. And I was like, but they're not mine, right? None of you belong to me. I mean, if you all belong to me, I'd keep you here forever. You serve with me until we die. But that's not how it happens. We train people up and God calls some away and God calls some to stay right here with us. But we do need leaders. If you're willing and if you're committed, I'd love to work and invest in you. Amen. Okay, how are we going to do discipleship with Right Now Media? How many of you are part of Right Now Media? How many of you are not? I want to see who. Raise your hand. Really. Okay, for those of you who are not part of it or who those of you don't know what it is, Right Now Media, if you ever have Netflix, okay, Right Now Media is like the Netflix of Christian videos. Every subject you ever needed to know about in the Bible, it's on there. Every type of teaching, every book of the Bible, there's a Bible study for everything on there. And it's at the tip of your fingertips. All you need to have is Wi-Fi, a signal. And nowadays, where it doesn't have, you can go to Starbucks and get free Wi-Fi. And all I need from you is your email address. And I will send you an invitation. You follow the prompts, you hook up to Right Now Media, you tell them that you're part of New Hope East Hawaii, and thousands of videos will be right at your fingertips. What does the Bible say about my marriage? Boom, you can go look up marriage. What does the Bible say about my finances? You can look. What does the Bible, one lady called me and asked me, I need help. My husband is addicted to pornography. What can I do? So I hooked her up with Right Now Media because there's teachings on that. You know, healing. You need something about healing? There's Right Now Media. And that's why if you want to lead a small group, all you need is Wi-Fi, plug in a video. You can probably print resources for most of the videos and you can ask questions and get in depth into studying what's going on. And for the men, We're doing right now a study by Kyle Eidelman about grace is greater. We went through a year ago or so. Men, what makes you happy? No thing. Who said that? James. What makes you happy? It's by Andy Stanley. What makes you happy? No thing, meaning nothing. Yeah, no thing, but God will make you happy. So it's right there at your fingertip. And all I need is your email address. So if you have that tear-off tab on your bulletin, but put it on there. I want to get connected to Right Now Media. And it doesn't matter if you live here or you live in China. If you can get Wi-Fi there, you can get hooked up. And write your email address legibly. Because, man, I have a hard time deciphering handwriting if it's bad. Like even mine, I get a hard time reading. I should have been a doctor with my handwriting, right? No. Right? So that's so simple. And if you, there's VeggieTales, there's things for your children on there. Hey, another one is life groups, right? Life groups is where we get together and we follow this Bible reading plan right here. It's a daily reading for every day of the year. And we read and we teach you this thing called SOAP, Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. You write down the scripture. You observe what is going on in the context of that scripture. Then you write an application. How can I apply this in my life? This morning I was reading from Genesis. And it was a point where Sarah was watching Ishmael, Hagar's son, harass Isaac, her son. And I don't know if you know the story, but she was kind of upset, and so she told Abraham, get rid of them. But Abraham was sad because Ishmael was his son from another lady who Sarah said, hey, have a baby, have my baby through her. And Abraham said, okay. And then all this drama started to happen, and I was thinking like, oh. Then my flesh thought, see what happened when I listened to women? And then God said, no, it's not that. See what happened when you don't pray and listen to somebody. Bad stuff happened. So it's not about listening to my wife or anything. It's about if my wife tells me something that I should do, then I need to take it to God in prayer. And if I just do it without praying, anything I do, whether it's from my wife or from somebody else without praying, that's a sign for disaster set up. So we read, we write. So we take 20 minutes or so to read, and then we take 5 or so minutes to write, 10 minutes to share. We have 3 life groups in this church. We would love to have more. James does one on Tuesdays at 5:30, right here at the Coffee Bean. And there's a lot of room there, because I've been there the last 2 Tuesdays, and most of the tables are empty. And it's a nice, quiet place to go read your Bible. Sometimes the music is a little bit loud, but that's okay. It trains us to focus and get the distractions and ignore them. On Wednesdays, I pick up some of those high school boys, and we go to Blaine's in Orchidland at 6 o'clock in the morning. I pick up those boys because they live like 1 street away from me, and they're up, they're waiting in their driveway, well, most of them. And then we go, I buy them breakfast, we do our devotions, we share, drop them off at school. Terrific. Thursdays, I'm at Blaine's in the industrial at 5 a.m. And Scott is there, James is there, and we read and we write and we share. Now, we all need to read our Bible, right? And it would be good that if you could just take one day of the week and read it with somebody else. Because Proverbs 27:17 says, see, if we read our Bibles every day, we would know. Proverbs 27:17 says, somebody. There you go. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I mean, when we do devotions together, man, we sharpen each other. And so I'm looking for people to start some of these life groups. And you don't need a college degree. All you need to do is learn how to do the SOAP, Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. That's all you need to do. And you don't need to teach because you're going to read, you're going to write. And if you are willing, you're going to say, this is what God gave me. And that's where we sharpen one another. Amen? And that's what, and if you are willing, I don't care if you do your devotion at 6 o'clock in the evening, we'll cook you up with somebody who can do it at 6 o'clock in the evening with you. If you want to do it at 12 o'clock in the lunchtime, and because some of you are retired, then we'll hook you up with somebody who's retired that you guys can go sharpen each other. Right? If you want to do it at midnight, then we'll find you a young teenager who's up at midnight. Because I am not. Unless you call me to go to the hospital, then I'm not going to be up at midnight. The only time I'm up at midnight is New Year's Eve, and if I got to go to the hospital for prayer for somebody. Other than that, I'm sleeping. All right, so we want to get more of these life groups in, and that's how we're going to disciple people. In addition to that, then the last one is outreach. Man, every October 31st, we do the Puna Kids Party. We do want to do more movie nights. We want to do more Fit Sunday fun days here. We have sports ministry. We do volleyball, basketball, and softball, and you know, we reach people through that. If you have ideas, suggestions, or you want to do something to reach people, maybe you want to do a free car wash before Easter to invite people to church. We did that once before. How fun. Even if we got one person saved, great. Yeah, if you want to take the worship team to the veterans' home and do Christmas carols, that's great. I asked one of our members to do a Christmas drama, and I'm hoping that they say yes, and you know we can invite our family and friends. But we do want to do more outreaches here in the community to reach our people. But I truly believe this is how we reach people, through relationships, one person at a time. When there was a gentleman in church the other week, he said yes to the Lord. And a friend where I pick up flowers up the street introduced me to him. And I went up to her this morning when I got the flowers, and I told her, you know, you saved his life. She looks at me like, huh? You saved his life. You introduced him to me. He came to church. He raised his hand. He received Jesus. She looks at me, may not be a big deal to you, but because you introduced him to me, because you seen a problem, he said yes, and now he will be in heaven because of your efforts and your concern for your friend. So I ask her, what about you? Oh, someday soon. Don't wait. Don't wait. And it's all because of relationships. I mean, we could throw the biggest outreach around, but bottom line, it comes down to how we relate to each other, our coworkers, our neighbors, because if we're upright, honest, with good character, and when we tell them something or we share with them something, they're just like, wow, I can believe that because I know their character. Amen? And then the last part, this is like kind of like my part to you. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law is happy as he. You know, when there is ignorance or rejection of God, you can see that crime and sin runs rampant. Public morality depends on the knowledge of God and how we follow him. In order for people to follow and to function well, God, we must be the church. We got to be not just here, but out there in the world. And this is my part. Ecclesiastes 12:9-14. In addition to being a wise man, the preacher also taught the people knowledge. And he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. The preacher sought to find delightful words and to write out words of truth correctly. The words of a wise man are like gold, and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails, and they are given by one shepherd. But beyond this, my son, be warned, the writing of many books is endless. And excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether good or evil. So I don't consider myself a wise man. Sometimes I do give wise cracks. But God has given me just enough of what I need to run this church. And not too much where I become arrogant and prideful, because a lot of times I don't know things and I'm not ashamed to ask. But I can study and certainly learn more. So my job is to get these words from the Bible, arrange it in such a way that you can understand. my part is I will always be praying for you. I will always ask God what I need to speak, when I need to speak it. And I'll do my best to arrange the words to motivate you into action, to move you from where you are to where God wants you to be, to live that abundant life that is promised you in the Bible. In 2020, I will do my best to serve you, to love you, to equip you, to teach you. And if I fail in any of these ways, I give you permission to let me know, hey, you got to do better here, or you can do this. And I pray that you would find your assignment in God. And I am looking for people who will take this church into the next generation. Leaders who would love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Leaders who will expand the kingdom, teach the gospel. Leaders who will have to die to themselves and make some sacrifices just to share the gospel. I am looking for leaders, men and women, who are willing and able with a heart after God. Look around you, because there are people here that you don't know. You may see their face every week, but you don't know their name. You don't know their children's name. So I'm going to challenge you, as part of getting out of our comfort zone, sit by someone different next week. Even if the guys who sit in the front, and I thank you for enduring sitting in the front with all the saliva that may fly out of my mouth because of excitement. But you may have to make a sacrifice and sit in the back one week to sit by somebody back there that you don't know. That guy's in the back. Hey, you don't know half the guys in the front of this church who are your brothers and sisters serving in this church. Challenge you. Move around. Get to know people. I mean, it's so nice that we see our friends that we sit next to every week. That's great. But there's 99 other people out there who could benefit from your friendship. And for me, I get to benefit from all of your friendship. So I challenge you. God has a plan for us. And he can use you if you are willing. Amen. I am going to ask you to forgive me for talking so much this morning. I'm going to ask James to come up. He is going to lead us in communion. So, hey, please forgive me for talking so much. We're going to take communion, and James is already with his sword. Yes, give the Lord some praise.
Happy New Year, guys. Didn't start quite as how I wanted it when the Patriots losing, but oh well. On the good, I was looking, being positive, their loss made a lot of people happy. And like Pastor, I started, I've been doing the book, but he's doing a book where he titles it and he does the page. So I started doing that this year. So I got a new book. But then I was looking through my old book, and then the first page I turned to, it was about it was Mark 14:18, and this was about Jesus sitting at the table with his disciples, and the scripture right here it says, as they were eating at the table, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, one of you eating with me will betray me. And then my observation was, Jesus was having his last supper with his disciples, and he tells them how his body will be broken and his blood will be poured out for our sins, and how one of them there will betray him. Even though he knew this, he still loved upon him. Then my application was, as non-Christians or as Christians, we have all betrayed our Lord and Savior at some time in our life, just like Judas. But Jesus did this to remind us that he did this to for our sins, to save us from our sins. And I also applied that I must always ask for forgiveness as soon as I sin, so I don't distance myself from God and Jesus. And I was thinking about that, and I just imagined, and that thought came to my mind. Just close your guys' eyes and just imagine someone, your spouse or your son or somebody that you really love. And then somebody that has sinned against you, and you can't hate the person, but you hate the sin. And they're going to beat that person you love and make him bleed and make fun of him. But I just thought about that, and that's how much God loves us. I almost thought like he almost loves us as much as his son, for just sending his son for our sins. And that's the kind of God we worship and we serve. And I just wanted to share that with you guys. And as we do communion, it's a time to just come clean with God, and we just take some time to just ask for forgiveness for our sins and come with a clean heart, especially for this new year, and just ask for forgiveness from God. So on that night, he was sitting with his disciples. Jesus took some bread. He gave thanks to God for it. He broke it into pieces and he passed it out to his disciples. And he said, "This is my body, which was given to you and will be broken. Do this in remembrance of me." Everybody think of the bread. Then later on, in the same manner, he took a cup of wine and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you." Everyone think of the wine. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, your grace, especially your son, Jesus Christ, for his blood that was poured out, his body that was broken for us. Even though you know we're sinners and betray you, you still loved us enough to send your son out to die for our sins. Father, we all ask you to open our hearts this year and just come into our hearts, speak to us, and Father, let us be obedient to you and listen when you talk, so we can grow in your word. Father, we give you all the praise and glory in your son's glorious, mighty name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, James. Hey, don't forget, okay, if you want to bring food on the 2nd or the 5th Sunday, let me know. I have the sign-up sheet. Where's Susan? If you need to order a shirt, see Susan. She's back there in the black with the name tag. There you go. Don't forget Men's Ministry Saturday. If you're new, we have food. It's free. Come and join us for some food, some fellowship. If you need prayer, let us know. You can write on prayer requests and drop it in the blue acrylic box on the greeting table. But if not, you are dismissed to go and have a great week. Happy New Year. God bless you all.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kea, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.